Hello and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Wednesday, May 28, 2025. I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Ward Ahmed, and we've got a packed show for you today. Firstly, we're going to be discussing how Surge Sports and Gerard Piqué's Kings League is going to launch in Saudi Arabia. Secondly, Dubai's homegrown brand, Dune 23, has been acquired by MNC Saatchi. And thirdly, Majid Al Futtaim and Dubai Future Foundation are launching this people-first retail robotics pilot at City Center Mertif. And finally, the founder of Aramix and the founder of Wamda Capital, Fadi Gandour, has warned of an AI tsunami as Microsoft lays off its employees.
And the very first story, the big story coming out of Saudi Arabia, Surge Sports and Gerard Piqué's Kings League have launched a football format, which is very interesting. So big changes are coming to the world of football in the Middle East. Surge Sports Investment has teamed up with Piqué's Kings League to launch Kings League MENA, a bold new seven-a-side football competition. The league will debut in Saudi Arabia later this year as part of Kings League's global expansion, already successful in Spain, Mexico, Brazil, France, Germany, and Italy. The format is now making its way to the Arab world.
Now, Kings League MENA promises to blend high-level football with gamified rules, celebrity team owners, and digital-first fan engagement. Now, the format is designed for younger audiences with a strong focus on content creation and entertainment. Now, from open tryouts and player drafts to interactive match rules, this league redefines how fans experience football.
And the original Kings League has already proven its global appeal. In 2024 alone, the league generated a staggering 7 billion impressions and 400 million engagements with 80% of its followers under 34. So next year I will be out of that league. And nearly 70% of Saudi Arabia's population under 30, Kings League MENA is tapping directly into a youth-driven digital culture.
And we expect more details soon about the teams, league structure, and celebrity owners. So community events, open tryouts, and digital campaigns will roll out ahead of the league's kickoff, aiming to build hype and local engagement.
And top-performing teams from Kings League MENA will qualify for global tournaments like the Kings World Cup, Clubs and Nation. The initiative supports Surge Sports Investment's wider push to develop innovative sports IPs and fan-first platforms across the Middle East. Very simply put, it's one of the coolest football tournament in the world right now, because as Word was telling me in the morning, there are a lot of celebrities, a lot of stars play in it.
They're going to have Jake Paul this year, Paul and Lamine Yamal.
So it has like star power. I was looking at the rules and they're so complicated and so interesting. Basically, basic football everyone understands, right? 11 players each side, try to score a goal, whoever wins. Apparently in this, there's like different rules. I'll just tell the highlights. One of them is that for the first 39 minutes of the match, the captain, whoever has the armband, if he scores a goal, it will be counted as a double goal. So you score one goal, and if the captain scores it, two goals.
I understand the appeal. I really do understand the appeal. And I think the fact that it's Saudi that gets to host it for the MENA region, because it's not necessarily just coming to Saudi Arabia. It's Kings League MENA. Yeah. So it's for the entire MENA region. But Saudi has been confirmed to
as
be
the host.
And I think what's really interesting with the entire thing is that I think like 2 years ago, they raised over $68 million dollars, and allegedly Gerard Piqué himself, the founder of the entire startup, he said that they get most of their money from sponsorships. So I just have a list here for you guys. They've gotten sponsorships from Red Bull, McDonald's, Adidas, and Disney Plus, CBS. So these are big names that are working with them. So it's going to be interesting to see how Saudi Arabia is going to completely change everything for them. I think they have a capital pool here that they did not have access to before.
And also the demographics of the age that Saudi has, nearly 60 to 70% 30 and less population. And this is like mostly seen by 34 years and below people. So it's going to be a hit. It shows on paper that it's going to be a hit. But as soon as it launches, we'll tell you what the teams are, who the owners are. Most probably we'll have people from the UAE, yeah, from Qatar also. I think Movilogs may it may be a possibility,
definitely,
buys a team.
Definitely. And, but yeah, just to put out there, by the way, like Surge Sports, it's PIF backed. That's Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, which is nearly worth $1 trillion. And Surge Sports, it's a subsidiary of PIF. So this all, it's happening right under the Saudi government.
Yeah. And PIF, there was a very interesting part in Verge's story. She did it in the morning that, and I forgot that completely. And I realized they have a deal. They got a minor stake in DAZN, D-A-Z-N, DAZN. The people have a lot of pronunciations for that, but I call it DAZN. Very interestingly, they invested nearly $1 billion. Mm. They didn't tell the deal like publicly, but it was reported by everyone that nearly $1 billion was invested in DAZN. So right now, the thing is very interestingly, what King's Cup and King's League and all the tournaments under this Gerard Piqué initiative, they're free to air. They go live on their own digital platform for free. You can watch it, I can watch it. But DAZN is there with PIF. So maybe they'll use DAZN to amplify the reach. It can be a very nice cross deal. So if they have access to DAZN, why not stream it on DAZN and get access to more people? So yeah, anything can happen when Saudi Arabia and PIF are involved. That's what we've realized. For the second story of the day, it's another sports-related story. In a major move for the regional marketing landscape, Dubai-based sports marketing agency Dune 23 is said to be acquired by global advertising giant MNC Saatchi. The deal marks a key strategic step for MNC Saatchi as it expands its presence across the Middle East with a focus on the fast-growing sports and entertainment sector.
So Dune 23, headquartered in both Dubai and Abu Dhabi, is known for its deep expertise in sports and entertainment marketing. So the agency will be integrated into MNC Saatchi's Passions and PR division, which connects brands with cultural and sporting moments. So Dune 23 currently employs over 40 professionals and counts Emirates Dubai Sevens, the Mubadala Abu Dhabi Open, the Chicago Bulls, and Sale GP among its top-tier clients.
And the acquisition highlights the increasing value of the UAE as a hub for global sports and entertainment. MNC Saatchi CEO Zaid Al Kassab described the move as a perfect fit, noting that it will scale the group's leadership in one of the world's most dynamic and rapidly evolving sports ecosystems.
So the deal is expected to close in the coming weeks, pending final approvals. So once completed, Dune 23 will operate under the Passions and PR umbrella, with its leadership expected to remain in place. So the aim is to strengthen MNC Saatchi's capabilities and client reach across the wider MENA region.
And while no financial terms were disclosed, the acquisition will be funded by MNC Saatchi's existing cash reserves. So it's a call cash deal. They're just buying them out. Following the announcement, the company's shares dipped slightly down 0.3% to 168 pence. It's a listed company. That's very interesting. Still, the strategic acquisition signals growing momentum in the Middle East marketing and media space. Having such big clients and just recently starting, it's not an old company. It's like 4 or 5 years old company. And having Mubadala Abu Dhabi Open, which is on the ATP Tour. Having Chicago Bulls, one of the biggest, most famous NBA teams. It's a big achievement by these founders. And now they're staying there. To be honest, I think it's kind of like they have acquired it. They're buying them out. Mm. But the leadership's positions are the same. Those people will stay. The founders will stay.
I think that's what's really great. Because we've seen with like past acquisitions, with what happened with Novora and Vogue Arabia.
There's an operation cleanup, and then the new company coming in
they
brings
their
own paper.
They cleaned all of them up. But basically what happened is Novora was the main licensed company for Vogue Arabia here in the Middle East. But then Condé Nast came and took over. And they did not just take over. They replaced the employees. And allegedly, the only ones who actually stayed are the big heads. Everyone else did leave.
And it was founded by, I forgot the name, so I Googled them quickly, Jamie Hosey and Lloyd McMillan. It was founded by these two people. Really nice guys. I've talked to one of them. I won't reveal why I told, but I wrote on the group yesterday. But I've talked to one of the guys. They're like extreme sports fans, football fans. So yeah, nice bunch. Reminds me, there was this part where we read that it's a perfect fit. You remember the OSN Plus, Dubai-based OSN Plus, and Warner Brothers deal, which recently happened. They bought a minority stake also. And I remember the head of Middle East, MENA region for Warner Brothers, said the exact, nearly exact same thing, that taking some stake in OSN is the perfect fit for us, and it's the last thing we'll acquire in this region. We don't need anything more right now. So it shows that all the brands that started here have developed over the years, maybe 10 years old, maybe 2 years old, they are in such nice places that global players are coming and they want piece of it. Not even in the businesses, not ADGM, not DIFM, everywhere you see, someone is coming in from the global markets and be like, okay, we'll invest in you, we'll
acquire
you.
They don't want to miss out. Yeah, they really don't want to miss out.
And next is a very interesting story. Dubai is taking a bold step into the future of retail. Majid Al Futtaim. I don't know if it's Majid or Majid.
It's Majid.
Majid?
Majid Al Futtaim.
Yeah, because my name is Abdul Majid and I got called Abdul Majid a lot here. So Majid Al Futtaim and the Dubai Future Foundation have launched a groundbreaking robotics pilot at City Center Mirdeh. For the first time, avatar-style robots are now assisting shoppers in real time with navigation and wayfinding right on the mall floor.
And this marks the first live public deployment of retail-focused robots under the Dubai Robotics and Automation Program. It's a major shift moving robotics from research labs into, you know, actual spaces that we all use.
Yeah.
So the pilot is designed to test how technology can enhance the way people interact with malls, hotels, and entertainment venues.
And the initiative reflects Majid Al Futtaim's strategy to embed AI and robotics into real-world customer experiences, creating seamless, accessible, and responsive environments. It also underscores Dubai's position as a global leader in responsible technology adoption and future-forward urban living.
And this pilot is part of a global collaboration between Dubai Future Labs and Osaka University, supported by Japan's Moonshot R&D program. Their long-term goal, to build an avatar symbiotic society by 2050 where humans and robots coexist in shared public environments.
And City Center Mirdeh is just the beginning. Insights from the pilot will help scale AI-powered people-first robotics across Majid Al Futtaim's regional properties. Future phases will focus on service automation, accessibility, and personalization with strong attention to regulation and ethics. The project aims to redefine what tech-enabled urban life looks like in the region. And I was looking at the videos. It's so interesting. Kids are playing with it. And I saw the most interesting one was there was this robot and someone wrote or said that I want directions to this. And it had hands. Like, go straight, do this.
Oh,
it was
a small one.
I was like, yeah, that's cute.
Honestly, Majid, we need that for Dubai Mall.
Yeah.
So Dubai Mall, if you don't know this, it's actually the biggest mall in the world.
Yes.
And I would just love if there was a robot to walk me exactly to where I need to be. Like, that is a helpful service. That really is a helpful service.
Yeah, like, it's like walking in front and you're like, okay,
exactly.
I don't need to look at the
I don't need to speak to a security guard. I don't need to ask anyone.
But Dubai Mall, interestingly, has its own app for navigation. I've tried to use it 2 or 3 times. This is not a complaint. This is a feedback, good, positive feedback. I know the company which made the app because one of my uncles works there. And he told me how difficult it was to just put out a navigation through Bluetooth and location settings.
Mm.
But still, the app needs a lot of updates. Because sometimes it says go straight and I go straight and I realize that I walked 1 kilometer. Actually, I had to go back 1 kilometer. So the app is there. It guides you through the shops and everything. Basically, you see the screens in Dubai Mall where you can just type out where you go and it'll tell you go this. Make it a mini version on your phone. But again, it still has a lot of problems. You need to turn on your Wi-Fi, your location, your Bluetooth, and then it will help you. And the biggest problem is changing the floors. So as soon as you go from first or to second floor or ground to one, your whole map disintegrates and you're like, oh, what happened? So it's very difficult to find your way through Dubai Mall.
What is the company that made it?
It's an American company. I forgot the name. My uncle worked for it. I remember the very first time I came to Dubai, I went to Dubai Mall. I went to that water feature where people are hanging upside down and there's water. And he came and met me. He said, go there, I'll come and meet you. And he came and I was like, how do you find way in this place? And he's like, there's an app. We built an app. So it's an American company which works with Dubai government, under the Dubai government. They're registered as a subsidiary.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So he told me like how they had to go through the whole process. Only like building the app was 1 year, and then debugging the floor thing, he told me that jumping floors was such a big problem for us, because within the same floor we perfected the system, but as soon as someone moved from one floor to the other, it became a problem for our
app. That was going to be my question.
Somehow, I don't know the technicalities of what they did, but somehow they built it that as soon as you jump from one floor to the second, take a lift or take an escalator, it changes the whole layout, and then you can jump around. But yeah, Dubai Mall is a complete adventure if you've gone there, and if you haven't, when you come here, take someone who knows their way, otherwise you'll get lost.
No, you know what I do? I go on Komera with my best friend.
Oh.
She walks me through the mall. She knows Dubai Mall that well through video call, and she just tells me where to go.
Go ahead.
I haven't figured it out yet. Inshallah, one day I'll figure it out.
The direction boards are there. I've realized they're quite helpful, because sometimes once or twice I've also gotten lost because I had to go to the other side for a shop. But they're helpful. But the problem is it's so big. You look at the board, it says go straight for aquarium, for example. You go straight. And then there is another board and it says go straight aquarium. And you're like, okay, go straight. And then you go and there is another board, go straight. I'm like,
straight. How
much straight do I have to go to reach the aquarium? And then in your brain, you're like, okay, it's big. It's too big. But yeah, it's a good jogging area as well. I think in summers, just go and have a good walk there.
By the way, people actually do that. Yeah. No, they plan
groups,
walking.
Yeah. So yeah, since we're talking about so much tech, AI is the only tech that everyone is talking about right now. It's the biggest thing that's happened in the human history. And tech entrepreneur, founder of Aramex, and the CEO and founder of Wamda and Wamda Capital, Fadi Gandur, is sounding the alarm on the future of software development. In a recent LinkedIn post, the Wamda Capital founder wrote, if you think the AI tsunami is not here yet, think again. He questioned the long-standing push to get everyone coding, arguing it may be time to rethink that strategy as AI begins to take over the keyboard.
So layoffs, and so his comments actually followed the news of Microsoft's recent layoffs, which disproportionately impacted software engineers, and 6,000 jobs were cut globally. More than 40% of Microsoft's home state of Washington were developers. Now, the company is investing heavily in AI, while simultaneously scaling back traditional engineering roles to control costs. So just recently, they actually invested $10 billion, I believe, into OpenAI.
Oh, yeah. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella revealed in April that AI now writes up to 30% of the code in some company projects. The automation is already transforming how software is built and who builds it. Other tech giants like Salesforce and Workday are also cutting engineers while hiring aggressively for AI-related roles.
And beyond coders, project managers and technical leads were also among the hardest hit. So in Washington state alone, nearly 600 program management roles were cut. While Microsoft says the layoffs are part of a management delayering strategy, data shows only modest reductions in actual manager positions.
And back on LinkedIn, Fadi Gandur reflected, it is only early days in this game-changing technology. His message, to be honest, is very clear. The rise of AI is not a distant future, but a present reality. And it's forcing industries to rethink not just who gets hired, but what skills matter most in this age of automation through AI. And yes,
but what was really interesting about the entire thing, and I wrote that story, is that when you actually take a look at it, I saw a bunch of videos, Majid, and basically they were these coders, and they were saying, no, AI cannot make the code just like that alone.
Yeah.
You still need people to code it. What's actually happening is that these big tech companies are outsourcing cheaper talent, cheaper labor. And then I saw this exclusive piece that was written by The Time, and it was basically about how there was a time where basically OpenAI employees, there was a role that they could not do because it was too traumatic. So what they did was they outsourced workers from Kenya, and they paid them $2 an hour. Yeah. That is...
And that's cheaper, right?
That is crazy. It's
way cheaper. Yeah.
It's cheaper, but it's completely unfair. Yeah. So I think that's what's happening here. They're actually finding that wait, you know, Chinese people can do this job quicker, better, and cheaper, like from different countries. So I was even reading something actually, and someone was saying how they visited the Philippines, and then they found that a lot of the people that they knew are working for like these Western companies. So yes, they are definitely outsourcing talent here.
Reminds me of the Philippines thing that there's this very big case going on. It's not related to Middle East. We didn't cover it a lot. But there's this very big company which promised AI automated sales structures. And so you went there and you could do everything. And it said it's AI backed. Actually, people in the Philippines were working for him. So he hired nearly 600 people or something. And don't know the exact number, but I'll just check it again. But he hired people in Philippines. So what he was saying that AI is doing, actually people were doing in Philippines. And then he got caught and there was a whole drama around it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so see, this is also happening that we know AI has the power to do a lot of things. It has automation powers. It can make a lot of processes simpler, easier, and it can do a lot of things that we take 100 hours to do. It does it in minutes. But again, people are still misusing the idea of AI automation and putting people behind screens and saying, oh, this is AI. AI is doing it. Actually, people are sitting behind and doing it. And since in Philippines, the rate, again, basic salary and rate is lesser, they're getting away with it. This guy got caught. I don't know how many people will also get caught because who've tried to use that AI hype to sell a product. And that's, I think, for today.
That is.
But I have to go for a shoot also.
That's a wrap for today, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Smashy Business Show. Make sure to follow us across all social media channels at Smashy Business and stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. A big shout out to our 1.5 million monthly listeners across all platforms. You make this possible. If you're one of them, we appreciate you. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.